It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We're going to do one more segment with my daughter, Sierra, and producer, and she's doing a great job. In fact, you know, I tell you this story. You know, a lot of people don't know this. We sent all our children from 7th to 12th grade to a private school here, and we did all kinds of whatever we could. We lived very poorly to make that happen. And there was a thing called the Arizona School Choice Trust, which was for poor children. You could get a percentage of the tuition paid for by voluntary contributions. At the time, it had nothing to do with the government. And there's a bunch of libertarians that started that up. They wanted to make sure that my children were on there because it freed us up to do a lot of activism and so on. Because I'm like, look, my kids are not going to the public schools. We pulled them out years before. So that was part of what allowed us to do that. But it only started from 7th to 12th grade. When our children started going into it, Sierra was the last one. And, you know, for her to be by herself, and we started putting them in a charter school. That I wasn't happy with that either. And there was no way I'm going to have a little social butterfly Sierra. You know, I knew she wasn't going to learn a damn thing. You know, so I'm just like, no, 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 no. We had a family restaurant we had just started. And we worked very hard. You know, our family, I mean, that was the slave days, you know. And for 5 years, we had this restaurant. And it was a lot of hard work. For her sixth grade year, the entire time, you were 12, I guess, then, we had her out of school, and in the morning, Rick Tompkins, he was at one time the state chair of the Libertarian Party here in Arizona, and later would run for the nomination in 96, then he helped tutor her in the morning, then would bring her by the restaurant, and I would train her on everything. Now, of course, she saw it as me sitting down and doing email while she did everything. But, you know, she learned human resources, how to hire, how to fill out paperwork, inventory, ordering supplies, dealing with the customer. She was always the one at the front, the representative of the carryout, you know, for our pizza restaurant. And she learned everything for that year. Then the next year, she started going to the same school that the other kids did. During that time, she was probably one of the best assistant managers I've ever had. So I knew when it came time for her to come in, whatever we negotiated for her to be able to work, being my producer, I knew she wasn't going to be getting enough of what she deserved. It's all I can afford. But it's, you know, she does okay. So the thing is that, you know, during that time of her just being in business at 12 years old, the employees respected her. They took her direction. She is way beyond. When I grow up, I want to be just like Sierra. You know, real quick, in just a few seconds, go ahead and, you know, tell the people, you know, what was your experience, you know, during those years?
Long days. just doing those schools, Brophy and Xavier. We did a lot of mornings for them and lunches for them. So that was always really hectic. And at first, it was hard because people didn't really see
because
me.
Our pizza restaurant supplied the pizzas for various private schools that were around there. We had large accounts that she helped with.
It was hard at first because people didn't really see me as management. Obviously, I'm like 12 years old. I can hardly see over the counter. I had to sit on a chair in order for people to see me. So that was always weird. You know, people always looking at me like, you know, do you just come out from under the street? You know, like, do you even belong back there? So that was different. But, you know, obviously, as the years went on and stuff, people started to see what I was capable of. And then when I volunteered at the animal hospital, also, people were really amazed. I was like literally 11, 12 years old, and I'm sitting there holding down animals, assisting the doctor and everything, probably stuff I shouldn't do, but I did it anyway, and they always treated me like I was older, so.
Yeah, that was another thing. What we did is we made sure, what did you want? Every 11, 12-year-old girl wants to be a veterinary. I mean, that's just the way it is, you know? So I go, fine, okay? You know, we're going to take a couple of days, and the afternoons you can go and you'll work at the animal hospital. So we talked, and there were, you know, people that ordered our pizza all the time. We deliver there a lot, and we said, look, can you please just allow our daughter to volunteer? Okay. You know, had her come down. Man, they were upset because they couldn't hire you. You were too young, so they couldn't pay her to be a regular employee. Did you ever start working for them for any amount of time?
No. By the time I was old enough, I was too busy. The schedule didn't work, so.
You know, this is a perfect example of how our society has, you know, devolved. You know, you can't have children in the workplace. Well, they didn't care how old she was. She was enormously productive. This is, you know, the maturity that you can have by just getting the government out. In fact, we had the federal government come into our restaurant, you know, doing the chitty chitty bang bang thing. You know, the guy with the top hat and the net. Where are the children? Where are the children? Because our competitors, they would call wage and hourly departments of the state and federal, and they'd come descend on us because we were competition. And because I had four children, just like, you know, any family restaurant, you know, a Chinese buffet or whatever, you got a bunch of the young kids back there, and it gave us a financial advantage. Tough, you know, that's the way. Now, the way the laws are for farms and so on, if they are your children or your grandchildren, then working in the family business, all these wage and hourly and limits on youth kind of, you know, doesn't apply. Well, at least not then. Lord knows what happens now. But they would come in, oh, we understand you have children here. When I came into the restaurant one time from making a pizza delivery, it was late afternoon. It was like 2 or 3, and it was just my wife and I were there, you know, cleaning up for the dinner rush and employees coming in. Then I came back, and there was a gentleman, a federal agent, yelling at my wife Donna, and she just, you know, wouldn't. She just shut down, and I'm like, you know, if anybody knows my wife, man, if somebody's yelling at her, it's not her fault, you know. That just so. What happened, I'm going, well, I'm here. Well, shit, we're going to shut you down and all this kind of, I'm like, whoa. And I just sat down and I said, well, come over here. We'll talk about it. What's up? I'm a federal agent. And he's showing his badge and she wouldn't cooperate. And all of a sudden I said, all right, first, right, let me tell you right now, just so you understand. If I came in and my wife was talking to a federal agent without me there or me knowing about it or saying any words at all, she had way, way more to worry about from me than she ever would from you. I just want to make that clear. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, you know, all right. Well, what's the deal? I go, what's the problem? Well, we have reports that you got children. I go, yep, they're mine. Have a nice day. Well, don't you think, I go, whoa, wait a minute. Are you going to tell a libertarian that, you know how to raise my children better than I do? You know, that it's not within my parenting skills, you know, and either they're playing football or doing volleyball or whatever at school, or they're here working or studying. And I, what do you care? And I go, he goes, well, I'm just trying to do the Lord's work. Here is a federal wage and hourly employee guy or something saying he's doing the Lord's work. Really? And I go, what? And he goes, yeah. I go, where do you go to church? We went to the same church. And I'm going, brother, save thy soul, get out. Because this is not your role to be telling me how to raise my children. I mean, seriously? But they had it got to the point. I refused to fill out anything. It was, they negotiated with me so they could check off their box if I would just send a letter to whomever it may concern so they could check off their box that I talked to them and it went in their little file and said, they are my children. Your laws don't apply. To whomever may concern, the children are mine. Ernest Hancock, boom, sent it to them. It all went away. This is how bad it is. We have an enormously capable generation next, certainly from the Hancock family, because we refuse to submit to government authority. Even though we're illegal, they still come after you. We have a much better chance of our family surviving this thing. You need to survive it. Advocate it to your friends and family. When we come back, we'll be talking to Ilana Friedman and the Girard Group, you know, and how they want to do this TSA thing. They got an opinion. We're going to find out what it is. What about stopping wars? We'll find out when we come back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Oh, yeah, the heat is on here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and my special guest. It's a good time to have her on. Ilana Friedman is from the Girard Group International. Now, she's a senior analyst there, and her expertise is in, you know, homeland security. Well, you know, we're going to be talking about a lot of things, and I got some questions for her and such, but I want to go ahead and give her an opportunity to go ahead and introduce herself first and tell us about her firm that she represents and how we can benefit from her expertise, because this is what she wants to offer. Well, go ahead, Ilana, let's go ahead and have you introduce yourself to the audience so they can know what they're dealing with.
Thank you, Ernie. Girard Group is has been in business for over 25 years, and our specialty is analyzing intelligence and taking all the little bits and pieces and connecting the dots and making them meaningful to law enforcement. That means intelligence that's actionable, that they can actually arrest somebody, take him to court, and have documentation that proves that the things they say about him are true. In the business world, that means getting intelligence about what threats and risks are out there for the company and it within the industry, and helping companies to be more competitive in rapidly changing markets. So those are the two markets that we address: law enforcement and government on the one hand, with Homeland Security, and business intelligence for corporate America on the other hand.
Okay, let me see if I can get this right for myself and the audience, so we can understand what's going on here. They make movies about you guys.
So, well, wait, understand there's a difference between intelligence and espionage.
Well, you know,
they don't do espionage.
There's a difference. I mean, you know, I'm wondering, this is my question. If I am International Corporation de la whatever, and I'm looking for some kind of a threat assessment from my executives going to another country or representatives of another country's corporation that wants to do business with me, if I'm going to be traveling and I got some important CEO people needs to go around, you know, to be able to conduct business around the world and fly, you know, I would imagine I might be calling someone other than the State Department, unless I got buddies there or something. I'm calling a private company that's going to help me with a threat assessment based on the individuals that I'm dealing with, the companies that I'm dealing with, the countries that I'm dealing with. Are you the kind of company that they're calling?
That's exactly what we do. And in fact, you know, what we would recommend is that people who have these issues, who are, for example, building or operating an organization, a company presence in a country which is at risk, which is virtually anywhere in the world these days, we will do that. We will help them protect their executives. We will and their personnel. We will help them to understand what the risks are, what the threats are, and provide them with the kind of solutions that will keep their company there and their people safe. And they just need what they need to do is go to our website, and there's a telephone number there that they can call, and they'll
please get go ahead and give out your website.
The website is girardgroup.com, G-E-R-A-R-D, girardgroup.com.
And if you go to freedomsphoenix.com today, you'll see the link for today's show in the archive, and it'll have all the links and information there. In fact, we've put a lot of other information there, too, and I'll go ahead and pull that up. That what we've done is we make sure that people have access to everything, you know, that they know what we're dealing with and so on. And I'll tell you what my questions are. My question is, what is the real threat? Why are we at threat? We're threatened all the time. There's, you know, whenever you ask that, and we've done a lot of interviews, you know, we're on cable news. We have Dr. Ron Paul up there giving it what for, and we, you know, about the TSA and the pat downs and all this kind of stuff. And we're going, you know, what is the source of all this animosity towards us? What makes us a threat? What makes them a threat to us? Why do people want to kill us? You ask that question, I don't care why. I don't care. That's not why we're here. We're not here why. We're just here to mitigate the damn dude and whatever, and we need more surveillance cameras. And I'm going, You know, do you have a what would make us all safer? What is the motivation for all this threat?
Well, you know, how politically correct do you want me to be?
I don't care. I just want the truth.
What you're going to hear from me is this. There is a major threat that is global, and it relates to radical Islamic worldview, which says that Islam is the religion of the one God, and it's the one that has to prevail. And as a result of that, there are subtexts to this which say that the Islam as a religion, as a way of life, is what is destined to eventually take over the world. There is a belief that there is a Messiah who is coming. They call him the Mahdi, and that when he comes, there will be a universal kingdom. And so the subtext to this is that anybody who is not a Muslim is not acceptable within these parameters. And there are three routes to dealing with people who don't accept Islam, and one is, first of all, to offer conversion, and if that doesn't happen, to offer second-class citizenship, and if that isn't accepted, then the third is to kill him. And so this is a very, very radical view, but if you hear people like Ahmadinejad, for example, the president of Iran, he talks about this all the time, and he talks about the need to destroy the Western civilization and the need destroy America and Israel and Europe and so forth, and so this is a very, very radicalized approach to it, and it's an ideology that becomes a threat to us, any of us who are not Muslims, who live a Western lifestyle, who believe in democracy and so forth. So the threat doesn't come from one place. For example, we hear a lot about Al-Qaeda, and there is a very real and present danger from Al-Qaeda. We know that they've put bombs on planes. They know that they put it on people, and they put it in cargo planes. So they're trying all kinds of different things. They've just published, Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula has just published a new version, a new edition of their magazine called Inspire, which is in English. Anybody can go on the web, the internet, and read it, and it tells. It's recruiting jihadis. It's people who want to essentially die for the furthering of the Islam of Islam, and so that's one. But that's only one thing. There are groups in the United States.
There's more. Oh my goodness! There's more.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
I know. I'm just letting you guys, let my audience know that I want to make sure you get to express yourself. You know, but I got 15 gazillion questions, so I just want the audience to know. I'm here. You just keep going.
Okay, so I won't make this long so that you can ask all your questions. But there are organizations both overseas and in the United States. Hezbollah, Hamas, which you know almost everybody has heard of. Hamas is largely in Gaza and spread out into areas of the West Bank, but they also have a very, very real presence in the United States.
And all right, well, we're going to find, when we come back, we're going to be you know grilling Ilana Friedman. We let her have her say. I just want to know, are we at constant threat now? I mean, this is our life. This is what we, you know, here we go. They're putting 300 cameras in Houston. They got all kinds. They want to put the scanners at bus stations and train stations. Is this where we live now? We'll find out when we come back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Ernest Hancock and my special guest, Ilana Friedman. She's here representing Gerard Group International. Now, Gerard, G-E-R-A-R-D group.com. Now, what we got up here, let me put this up. What I did is I got your page up here to your links page. Well, what we see here is we top it off with Homeland Security, FBI, American Red Cross, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, U.S. Food and Drug Administration, National Institutes of Health, Institute for Counterterrorism, National Homeland Security Knowledge Base. I'm like, we see where you're going. Okay. So my thing is, I just want to ask this one question, and it hopefully it'll send us off in a nice discussion here. My advocacy is that all of this, everybody wants to, you know, is jihad. Okay, we're coming after America, Americans, American interests. Everything. This is all because of something. And the reasoning that you're giving is because it is beat into every Muslim around the world that, I don't know, everybody's got to be Muslimized. Now,
I didn't say every Muslim, but there is a portion of the Muslim population which is very, very radical.
You know, my thing is that I get that from the Catholic Church throughout history, the Christians, the Christian Zionism, the on and on and on. There's always somebody I can pull out and say, you know, everybody else must die and it's ours and we're the truth, the light, and the way. And gosh darn, if you don't agree with us, we got a sword. So I you can always pull that out. And I'm absolutely positively certain that you have a counterpart in the Islamic world that's saying the exact same thing about the American empire and the West invading them with McDonald's. I mean, would you think that that's an accurate statement?
Well, I think that there are some very, very vocal people. And unfortunately, the radicals are the ones who are vocal, and the rest of the population. And we don't even know what that means. I don't know what kind of a percentage we're talking about, but it seems as though there is a very large portion of radicalized Muslims who espouse the idea that they're, first of all, many of them, some of them, I don't know the numbers. I mean, you're talking about over, you know, a billion people in the world, but their willingness to die for Allah, and they're dying for Allah in the process of taking a lot of non-Muslims and sometimes a lot of Muslims with them. So, for example, if you have a suicide bomber in New York City or in London, a lot of non-Muslims will die. If you have a suicide bomber in Iraq, a lot of Muslims will die. But the view is that God will take care of them. If they're good people, they'll go to paradise. If they're bad people, they'll go to hell or whatever the Muslim equivalent.
You know, I'm just thinking that if I was your counterpart in the Middle East somewhere on Al Jazeera or whatever, I'd be going, yes, it's saying exactly the same thing you are right now. And so all you got to do is just watch 15 minutes of Fox News, you know. So it's just, I mean, you can see my point. And this is my question. In your opinion, can we avoid this descent into a police state that we have here, the fear of being terrorized, the fear of having our lives threatened, the fear of being scanned? You got to appear before the king naked or get groped by the king's men. I mean, all that goes away if we just stop killing people, stop bombing them, stop expanding our empire, stop being over there and socially and economically engineering them at the barrel of a gun. I mean, does that ever even come up as to why they might have animosity towards us?
I don't believe it does. I think it's used as an excuse, but I think what we're talking about is an ideology that does not include compromise. And that's just something that is very hard for us to understand, because our way of living and thinking and the nature of our society is such that it's built on the concept of compromise, that we compromise with each other so that we can live together in what we would like to call a free country. And that's not what they believe. They believe in a theocracy, and it's a completely different concept, and it's a very rigid concept when it's sufficiently radicalized. But I want to address one thing you said earlier, Ernie. You were talking about how another group could say that about Christianity, for example. There is nothing in the Christian literature, in the liturgy, that commands Christians to go out and kill non-Christians. But there is, in the Quran and in all of the commentaries that surround the Quran, there are instructions for Muslims to kill non-Muslims. It's a different ideology. It's a different way of looking at
the world. So why are we killing them? So why are we killing them?
In it, I have questions. If you're asking why are we in Afghanistan, why are we in Iraq, there are questions about it. Those are legitimate questions.
Oh, no, we're expanding into Yemen. It's going to include Pakistan. We got North and South Korea, and I just have to have a simple question. Am I allowed not to care? Am I to go, why do we have tens of thousands of troops in Korea? I mean, they go, well, they're bombing each other. I'm like, yeah, so? I mean, am I allowed not to? No, you have to fund it. You have to be aware of it. You got to have it beat into you on the cable news. You got to be, I'm like, why? And why are you not focusing on all the death, dying, and destruction that's going on in Africa? Well, I'm telling you, we will. As the natural resources start to develop there and China is starting to move, it's going to be Africa. It's going to move from wherever. It's just going to, there's another generation that's coming up that has access to information that is really starting to understand that we're constantly at war with someone, and we're constantly going to be elevating the police state, and they're constantly going to be expected to be afraid and looking to people like you and companies such as yours to be able to protect them. And I'm thinking that, a lot of this just goes away if we just stop killing people. I'm just my opinion. I mean, do you think that is what will happen or?
I wish I could agree with that, because it's the kind of world I would like to live in, Ernie. I grew up in a wonderful community where we would say, as a matter of course, you can't do that to me, and somebody would try to, I don't know, whatever, and keep me from doing something. I say, you can't do that to me. This is a free country. It's getting harder and harder to say that these days, and I would like to go back to the time.
But it's not them that's violating my rights. You'll go, we have to violate, we have to give up some liberty so you can have some security.
I don't believe that.
Well,
I don't believe that.
Well, let's take a look on freedomsphoenix.com today. We have a story up. It's body scanners coming to trains, subways, boats, Homeland Security chief says. So I'm going, as we anticipated, this is not just about, making money by putting scanners in airports. It's like,
yes,
ooh,
it
there's boatloads of money. We can make a whole bunch more money if we put them in subways. We have them going on cruise lines. If we have them at train stations, we're going to get the bus station, and we have checkpoints now here in Arizona. I mean, we're constantly in court on that kind of stuff too. So I'm like, is this just an unfortunate side effect of this?
No.
Or are you advocating for it or what?
No to everything. I don't advocate for it. I am not a fan of this screening technology. I think it is a mistake. I think it puts America in a very, very bad situation. First of all, if the enemies out there are laughing at us because of all of the disruption, which is exactly what they want to cause. But more than that, it is an abrogation of our Constitution, of our right to protect us against unreasonable search and seizure. And it isn't necessary. The main point, Ernie, is that it isn't necessary. It is not only not necessary, it's unproductive. It's counterproductive.
So you would advocate for what to make us safer?
I would advocate, first of all, to take these things away. I think they are not effective. They're not doing the job. They do not detect the kind of explosives that Al-Qaeda is now using. So what's the point?
I say, stop killing people. They might want to stop killing us. Well, we'll talk about it more when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, my special guest, Ilana Friedman from Girard Group International. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
What might that mission be here on Declare Your Independence? With me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S. FreedomsPhoenix.com here in lovely Phoenix, Arizona, home of the Freedom Summit. FreedomSummit.com. Make sure you go check that out. Lots of good speakers this year, as we always have. I tell you, the one thing that the last 2 days, Thanksgiving and today, is I think it's on whatever network it is. It's James Bond Marathon. I mean, it's just it's one after the other. And it made me think of what we get from the Girard Group International. Now, the Girard Group, this is kind of, I get the impression, instead of having, you know, everybody going through the cattle chute, everybody going through the slaughter line, everybody going through the shearing chute here, that we have an opportunity to try and make us safer by just having some human intelligence. And that's what we used to count on. You know, that's what we had MI6 agents out there doing whatnot, and they're going to make us safer by actually knowing close in, you know, what people are doing, not waiting until after it's going to happen while they're in line with their bomb or whatever. That's just making money selling scanners. So, you know, is this the kind of intelligence that you're advocating is really knowing what's going on before it happens?
Yes, exactly. It's intelligence and it's common sense. And I, you know, I'm totally against this whole scanning and groping. I think it's stupid. I would much rather we be looking for bombers than bombs. And I, you know, and there are many ways to do that are totally non-invasive, that don't offend, that don't in any way encroach upon a person's privacy. You know, the Israelis have been doing it for years. They never lay a hand on a person. And they have been doing it very, very effectively. It's all done by psychological and behavioral screening, and it's extremely effective. And we should be able to learn from them, but we don't want to because it somehow the people who are running the show right now somehow feel that it is humiliating to take advice from the Israelis when we should know how to do it. But we're
Let me go ahead and bring up this one point. We have a story up. It says the title is Representative Kucinich slams fake Afghan elections, fake withdrawal, fake Taliban. He goes on and on. And the point is that they did try and give the impression that the United States government and the Western powers were negotiating with actual Taliban leaders, intelligence, we're dealing with them. We're looking for bombers. I mean, we're trying to negotiate. And then it comes out, they find out that this senior official member of the Taliban was an MI6 agent out of London or whatever. So they just, you know, make this stuff up as they go along. So I'm just like, no matter what you come up with, no matter what you advocate as a better way of doing it, I am of the opinion that those that benefit from the terror, those that benefit from the death, dying, and destruction, those that benefit from the war machine, they're going to do whatever they're going to do to make sure they benefit. And at the end result of it is that we suffer as a society that was founded on the very premise, the very justification, the very reason for even having a government here in America was that they were there to protect our individual rights. They were there to protect us from the very things that they're doing. And if they can't keep us from having our rights violated, even if they're doing it, their justification for existence goes away. So I'm,
you know,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I ran for Congress once on the Libertarian ticket because I believe very, very strongly in small government, that the role of government is to protect the American people. But it should not be invading. It should not be involved in our education. It should not be involved in our health care, for crying out loud. It should be a minimalized organization that protects American citizens danger. That was the role of the government. Also to create a certain organization so that states could function. But the Constitution is very clear that whatever role is not specifically given to the federal government should be given to the people and or the states and or the people.
Well, I want to be able to get on Fly and Die Airlines, get my 9mm issued to me because I forgot mine, and pay for my ticket in flight with a credit card that they swiped. I mean, you know, I just want the freedom. And let's go ahead and talk about another story that's coming out. This massive WikiLeaks leak that's coming out is going to reveal corrupt world leaders around the planet. Even the Obama administration has come out saying there's going to be a release by WikiLeaks, and it's going to make everybody look bad, that would be bad. And these are the kind of things you think this makes us safer in the long run. These things should be done, or no. We don't want to know how corrupt the entire planet's governments are.
Well, I think transparency is a good thing, and I don't know what is motivating WikiLeaks to continue to release all these documents. But knowledge is power, and if there is, you know, whistleblowers have always been an essential part of our developing history. And when things started to become corrupt, whistleblowers stepped up and took the risk and created change. And I think that's a good thing. I recognize that a lot of people are very upset about these leaks. But, you know, I'm in the information business, and information, I think, is a very powerful thing. When you have the information, you can do something about it. If you don't have the information, there is nothing that's going to help you, because you simply have no reason to act in any way. You just don't know that it's going on. So it's going to be very interesting. We have just given Turkey a great deal of authority over, you know, at this last conference that the president was at. But Turkey it's just come out that Turkey has been funneling arms and money to Al Qaeda. So, you know, I don't begin to understand how we allow this kind of corruption to influence our foreign policy to the extent that we are willing to overlook it, or to allow it to influence the way we operate. But I'm afraid that what's happening is we're moving toward a global society, which is exactly the wrong way. I think we should be independent. We have a very unique way, a very unique society, a very unique government. We need to protect it, because it is without any question in my mind the best in the world.
Okay, now let me go ahead and make this point. I agree with most of what you're saying here, except for we just got to put one thing in perspective. We are not going to be able to protect our society and certainly our individual freedoms if we're constantly killing people. If we are constantly at war, let's talk about your support of Israel. I mean, don't you know, what's your comment on us giving them a whole bunch of F-35s?
I would like to see Israel independent, but and not dependent on us for funding, which basically we don't give them money. We give them a buyback contract, so that they have to contract with American companies, and it's a little different from
yeah, with whose money?
But what
U.S.
I would
taxpayers'
like to
money?
See, no, but we're not giving them money. That's my point. They are what they get from us are contracts that say, we will support your development of A, B, and C, but you have to buy your contractors from the United States, from American companies. And there was one contract, for example, for the Levy fighter plane that Israel was building about 20 years ago. And there were over 550 contracts to contractors in the building of that airplane. When the contract was canceled by America, and this is attached to my point, that we not only help them, but we by through these contracts, but we also take these contracts away, and we are in a position of such power that we're able to do that. So it's
more social and economic engineering of the planet. I don't.
Yes, it is.
Can we stop?
And we shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, stop.
I absolutely agree with you. We
stop.
Should not be doing it.
Ernie,
I do want to say one thing. As far as the Islamist extremists who are sending these terrorists, I do not. I unfortunately, it's the only thing I don't agree with what you said, which is that it isn't our being there that has created the problem. It's that they really think that we are evil, that our way of life is
evil.
Well,
quit
and
proving it to them.
I agree. I certainly agree with that. But if we were to stop killing them today, they would not stop killing us. And that is really...
So are you saying we should just declare war on them and, you know, lay waste? I mean, what are you advocating?
I'm advocating that we have a sensible set of security standards that protect Americans, and that we should stop interfering. We should stop trying to move toward a global economy, stop trying to move toward a global society. It's not going to work.
I don't think it is. Ilana Friedman from Girard Group International, thanks for spending time with me, Ilana.
Thank you, Ernie.
And we'll have you back sometime. Talk about some more here on Declare Your Independence. We'll see you next week.